Hello, Super Sleuths. Welcome to the latest episode of Where the Monsters Are. I'm Louise.
And I'm Sarah.
We'd really like it if you could follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Where the Monsters Are. And if you can, please leave us a review to let us know what you think of the podcast, because we'd love to hear from you. If you do follow us on our socials, you can also use these to let us know which topics you'd like us to cover in the future. So, before we get started, I'd better tell you that this episode will be covering the murder of two children by another child, so I totally understand if this isn't something you would want to listen to. If you think you'll be affected by anything we'll be discussing tonight, feel free to give this one a miss and have a listen instead to any of our other episodes. There are plenty of others on here for you. So, Mary Bell was 10 years old when she murdered 4-year-old Martin Brown and 3-year-old Brian Howe. Mary was born in May 1957 in Scotswood, a poverty-stricken area of northern UK city Newcastle. The area was working class but close-knit, with families knowing each other well, with the children playing out together. Back then there was little to no parental supervision when the children were out playing, because the parents were working long hours. Mary's early life was horrific. She was raised by a mentally unstable alcoholic mother named Betty, who worked as a prostitute and was frequently away from the family home. Mary herself has said that she was subjected to sexual abuse, her mother forcing her to take part in prostitution from the age of 5.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She is also known to have once sold Mary to a mentally unstable woman who was unable to have children of her own, resulting in her older sister Catherine having to travel alone across Newcastle to reclaim Mary and return the child to her mother's home on White House Road.
Oh dear. Terrible.
Yeah. Family members have spoken of Betty trying to kill Mary multiple times when she was young, but trying to make it look like an accident. They believe later that Betty suffered from Munchausen syndrome by proxy, which is where the parent figure pretends that the child in their care has illness in a way to gain sympathy and attention for themselves.
Yeah, I've heard that.
There is some question as to the identity of Mary's real father. Billy Bell was a petty criminal who married Betty after Mary was born, but they're not sure if he really was her father. Though it isn't clear whether Billy was in fact Mary's father, she thought he was, and despite his criminal tendencies, he did seem to act protectively toward Mary, because when police would later come to interview her about the murders, Billy chased them off with threats to set the dogs on them. What wasn't clear is whether he knew about the alleged prostitution when she was a child. We don't actually know if that's true or not. It's just what Mary has said happened.
Right.
Mary's unpredictable home life, a prostitute for a mother who may or may not have forced her young daughter into the same profession, and a criminal father, made Mary behave erratically and violently toward the other children she went to school with. She tried to strangle some of them and even stubbed out a cigarette on the cheek of another young girl.
No.
Now, bear in mind, when Mary committed the murders that she will become infamous for, she was only 10 years old, but she had exhibited worrying behaviour before she carried out the murders, hence the strangling and the violent behaviour.
Yeah.
While she was at school, her teachers found her to be a bright child, but they were concerned at the fact that she seemed to have little to no feeling for anyone else. I'm guessing from that if it happened today, she would probably be diagnosed with sociopathic, if not psychopathic, tendencies. The odd thing about this was that even though people noticed and remarked on her troubled behaviour, nothing was done about it, ending in tragic circumstances for the two little boys. So, which is really odd. I don't understand, if she's causing all this trouble, she's attacking other children, why was nothing done? Whether it's the time, I don't know, whether...
What year was it?
Was 1957. She was born. I think she was born in 57. So this is like 67. I mean, it kind of started in... I mean, it happened in like 67, 68.
Yeah. So, I mean, were there like social worker, social care and stuff like that back then?
Possibly not. And also they were poor. I mean, they were really, really poor. So I don't... I don't know, back in the 60s, I'm not sure whether like social care was a thing back then.
I don't know.
No.
Although you see many cases anyway where things are missed and, you know.
Oh, nowadays, yeah.
By social care, even teachers, GPs, so I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wonder
doesn't mean that if there was anything, anything would have been any different.
No, I mean, I wonder if it's a case of, well, it's nothing to do with me back then. If that's, you know.
Maybe,
it's
yeah.
The parents, it's up to them. They have to deal with it. There was one incident recorded where she tried to strangle another little girl and suffocate her by holding her down and forcing sand in her mouth.
Ooh.
At the time, the little girl was held down by Mary's friend, Norma Bell, who was no relation to Mary. But thankfully, she managed to get away. Norma was older than Mary, but she had learning difficulties and was quite easily led by the younger Mary to do what she told her. Now, Norma will come into it a bit later on.
Hmm.
Mary even attacked Norma at one point by strangling her while she was visiting her friend at her home and was only stopped when Norma's father came upon them while she was strangling her. He slapped Mary around the face and sent her home. So again, nothing was actually done except...
I think it probably was in them days, you know, like... You remember when you was a little, like, you was a kid and they used to sort of say, oh, I'm going to tell send my dad round kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll send
Do you
my
remember
dad
that?
Yeah.
So and it's probably that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and if you had, like, an older brother, it was, my brother can beat your brother up. And...
Oh, yeah, my brother used to do that. Say that about me.
What, that you beat somebody
I used to
up.
Have people come up to me going, your brother said you're going to beat me up. And I'd be like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. And you know, I don't tend to just go around beating random people up. That's never been a thing that I do, by the way.
Yeah, we've heard. Mary carried out her first murder, which was that of 4-year-old Martin Brown. It's thought that she was alone when she did this murder by strangling the little boy. It's very odd to me that she was well known in the area to be volatile, as I said before, but nobody thought that she was so bad that she would actually kill anyone, which is odd since she had already at this point tried to smother that little girl with sand. So I just can't understand how it got to that point. I just don't.
Perhaps people don't, you know, a 10-year-old girl, they don't really probably at the end of the day think, oh, she's going to murder someone, do they?
Probably not, because at the end of the day, she's a child.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if she was, say, 10 years older, it'd probably be a different story.
Yeah, if she'd have been a teenager or 20 or whatever, yeah. Mary and Norma would break into a local nursery after Mary had murdered Martin and left messages there about the murder. The words, we did murder Martin Brown, we murder, watch out, I murder so that I may come back, were written at the school. Mm, yeah.
Weird.
Martin's body was found in an abandoned house the day before Mary's 11th birthday on the 25th of May 1968. He was found by two boys who had been playing in the derelict house in one of the upstairs bedrooms. It's interesting to know that Mary and Norma had been on the scene when the boys found little Martin. They followed the boys into the house and had to be ordered out of the house when the police arrived. So I'm guessing it's kind of one of them things where they say the criminal goes back to the scene of the crime.
Mm,
I'm guessing
yeah.
It's that. Apparently there was no immediate cause of death that could be determined, so police wondered whether the boy could have died by swallowing pills from a discarded bottle that was found nearby. After Mary was arrested, she confirmed that she'd strangled him, but this wasn't discovered during his post-mortem because even though she had strangled him, as she was a child herself, her grip hadn't been hard enough to put any marks on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
His death was later linked to that of Brian Howe, which I'll go over now. It was 2 months later, on the 31st of July, that Mary, along with Norma, who would be her accomplice in the second murder, took 3-year-old Brian Howe for a walk and killed him. A search was carried out almost immediately and Mary told Brian's sister that he might have been playing on a pile of concrete blocks that had been dumped out in a local wasteland nearby. This was indeed where the body of the little boy was found. He'd been strangled, a crudely shaped M had been carved into his stomach with a razor and his hair had been cut, the strands being strewn in the surrounding area. Now, for anyone familiar with the horrific case of little Jamie Bulger...
I was just about to say, that's exactly the same, pretty much, as what happened to him.
It's frighteningly very similar. Yeah. Jamie Bulger was a three-year-old boy who was taken off and murdered by two 10-year-old boys in Liverpool in 1993. So you can see why comparisons were made between that case and the one of Mary Bell. Indeed, at the start of her sentence, which is very bizarre, she was sent to Redbank Security Unit in St Helens, Lancashire, which is where John Venables, one of Jamie Bulger's killers, was housed 25 years later. Exactly
but
the same
I
place.
Mean, I'm probably getting it wrong, but didn't they try to carve something into his skin?
Yeah, I mean, they did mutilate him.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's really bizarre how similar it is.
Yeah, when I was researching this, I was actually surprised at how close to the Jamie Bulger thing. The fact that they both took him off.
Yeah, and he was the same age as Jamie.
Yeah,
he's and three, they were three, like about 10, the same
exactly
as...
the same age as her. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just the things that they did to her, to him as
it's
well.
Very, yeah, I mean, it was like a torture, wasn't it? So it was very similar to that. After the death of little Brian Howe, the police launched their inquiry into both murders. They interviewed 1,200 local children, including Mary and Norma, asking suspects to account for their whereabouts at the time of Brian's death. Now, what's interesting to me about that is that they potentially suspected a child then from that, from what I'm getting there. I mean, it wasn't actually said that they thought it was a child, but it's funny that they wanted children to account for their whereabouts.
Mm. Yeah, they must have thought. They must have had an idea then.
Yeah, that it was a child. They both behaved oddly during the interview, acting evasive and suspicious, enough that the police interviewed them on multiple occasions and the girls changed their stories twice. They each accused the other of strangling Brian Howe, and Mary accused Norma of making the cuts on his body with a razor blade. The police eventually arrested both girls for the murders on the 5th of August 1968, so it was pretty quick afterwards.
Mm, yeah.
The trial of the girls took place at the Moot Hall in December of that year, so again, very, very quickly. Mary was quite confident during the trial. Norma seemed to be confused by what was going on. Remember, she had learning difficulties, Norma did.
Mm-hmm.
They admitted during questioning to having broken into the nursery and writing the notes about the murders. The trial went on for only 9 days. Norma was eventually found not guilty, but Mary, who came across as being the one in control, was found guilty of manslaughter by reason of diminished responsibility and sentenced to life imprisonment. As you can imagine, there was a lot of public attention from the press after Mary's conviction. Her mother sold many stories about her to the newspapers and even gave reporters documents that she claimed to have been written by Mary. So completely threw her under the bus, her mum. But she didn't seem much of a person anyway, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, she probably scared she would get dragged into it for what she'd done.
Mary was to spend 8 years in young offenders' centres. She was not a good inmate. She was described by psychiatrists as being manipulative, intelligent and dangerous, and made up a charge against one of her warders of indecent assault. This went to court, but the man was found not guilty. She was transferred to Moor Court Open Prison, and in September 1977, she escaped with another inmate, but they were found and sent back within 3 days. She lost prison privileges for 28 days as a result of her escape. Now, this is really weird to me. Mary Bell was released in 1980.
Oh.
Yeah, so she's out, and she has been for ages. She gave birth to a daughter on the 25th of May 1984. This is ironically the same date that Mary had killed Martin 16 years before.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And she was given anonymity and a new identity so she and her daughter could start a new life.
Well, that's what they did with the killers of Jamie Bulger.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly the same.
And I mean, that one's been in and out since.
He's re-offended,
hasn't he? So he's not
been
rehabilitated, has he?
Not at all. Her daughter was unaware of her mother's past until their location was discovered by reporters, and they had to flee their home with bedsheets over their head. So can you imagine being that girl? Finding out that's your mum, that she killed a couple of children? Over the years, Mary Bell has had 3 false identities and has moved at least 5 times after being identified. So obviously people managed to find her each time. This was after she took part in a book about her life for which she controversially received £50,000. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Tony Blair's government tried unsuccessfully to block the publication of the book so that she wouldn't profit from her crimes. Though they were unable to stop this one, they then brought in laws so that others couldn't profit from their crimes.
Mm, good.
One murderer affected by the new law was British serial killer Dennis Nilsen.
Mm, good.
Because he obviously tried to as well. Belle's daughter's anonymity was originally only to be protected until she reached the age of 18, but on the 21st of May 2003, Belle won a High Court battle to have both hers and her daughter's anonymity protected for life. Now, when this happens, it's called a Mary Belle order, so it's named after her. Yeah.
I mean, I totally get the daughter, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she doesn't deserve that.
No, I don't think any of them do.
No, I don't. Some other people who have benefited from this are Maxine Carr, yeah, who was the girlfriend of Soham murderer Ian Huntley, and, as you said earlier, John Venables and Robert Thompson, the murderers of little Jamie Bulger in 1993. The last information that is known about Mary Bell is that she became a grandmother in 2009. The child, referred to as Zed in court papers, was added to the High Court documents, meaning that he or she was also covered by the identity protection of their mother and grandmother.
The thing is, if the mother and grandmother got new identities, why does the kid have to be protected? Because wouldn't he just...
You would think so, but I'm guessing it's...
He'd have, like, whatever their names are.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and on his birth certificate, he would have them names.
Well, yeah, there is that, but there's also, I mean, the... daughter obviously had a partner of some kind. Does he know who they are?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine that, being having your mother-in-law? I mean, she literally is the mother-in-law from hell, isn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't find anything about Norma. I don't know what happened to her. Everywhere I looked, I've really tried to find out what happened to her. The only thing I could find was that it said that she died in 1989, but I don't know how true that was. I found it in a couple of places, but I don't know for definite if that is the case. But if she is still out there, I've no idea where she is. I couldn't find where she was, which it's a bit odd considering she got away. She was like released. She wasn't convicted or anything. But I think the only thing I could see was that she'd gone back to where she came from, to that same place. So, I mean, that's another one. Can you imagine growing up like that? I mean, she was 10. She would have gone back there.
Mm.
I don't... Yeah. It's a horrible case.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Very horrible case. But, yeah, I mean, as I was reading it, I was thinking that's very... especially the second child that they killed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't really... No, associate the first one with anything, but
yeah. But as soon as I read that about the second one, I was like, that is very like what happened to little Jamie Bulger.
Yeah, because when it was when you said they carved an initial, and I'm sure, I mean, I could be getting it mixed up with someone else, but I'm sure they did something like that to him.
I think
like
they did.
Carved a name or something. Words.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was M that Mary.
I can't remember what.
Well, I think. She blamed Norma for doing it, but I think it was actually Mary that did carved the initial.
Well, it's an M, isn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, why would Norma put an M?
Nah, exactly.
Mm. I mean, did she? She may not have actually done anything at all.
No, I think she was just with her. I mean, she wasn't there for the first one. Mary did that one on her own, but...
I wonder if... Why she just... When she came out of... prison, whatever, she's never done anything since.
Well, that we
know of.
I just can't understand how she got out, because it's the fact that she was sentenced to life. I suppose it's the fact
that she was so young.
I guess so. I mean,
when she did the crime, like the two with Jamie Bulger. I mean, so you know, they have got like they class it as diminished responsibility, don't they? Yeah. When they're that young, so it could just be that she had reformed and. Like they supposedly had. And maybe she actually did, because if we've not heard of her reoffending or doing anything since, and she had a daughter and a grandkid, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think she should have got out, and I don't think, because, was I mean, those the lives of those children that she took, I mean, three, and what was the other one?
Three and four. But, I mean, it's the fact that she obviously had issues. She obviously had issues. I mean, whether it was true, what she has said in the interviews and in the book, whether it's true about like what happened to her as a child. I mean, the fact that her mom tried to sell her for a start to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like she didn't have a great home life anyway.
No, but we've said
that,
before.
That shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't.
I know they always say when people have, say, been abused and stuff that's, you know, they can go on to, but not everyone that abuses or has come from a bad home or, you know, or maybe a poorer family or, you know, it doesn't mean
not at all.
That you're, that's a reason why you've done what you've done.
No excuse for it at all. I mean, yeah, but I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago. You can feel sorry for what happened to her as a child if that is true. But that's just no excuse for what she did at all. I mean, she was obviously an angry young girl because the fact that she was attacking her schoolmates.
Yeah, okay. Maybe she was just she could have just been. I mean, she could have been mentally unstable because of the things that happened to her.
Yeah, could be.
So that could have contributed to it.
Yeah, I mean, psychiatrists when she was in court, they did actually say that she had psychopathic tendencies. Mm. So they did call her a psychopath. But yeah, I mean, it's as you say, it's the fact that you know she just stopped.
Yeah, that's
and it never
the thing,
happened
it?
Again.
I mean, that's the same with that one, that Robert Thompson.
Yeah.
He's supposedly gone on and he's, you know, living a normal life, but whereas the other one never. No. And didn't that Shannon Matthews' mom get like a false identity or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
Yeah, I feel like she did, yeah.
I know Shannon did, which is fair enough, but she did as well. Yeah, was another one that shouldn't. She shouldn't have got that.
No. I mean, I don't know if our listeners know who Shannon Matthews is. Shannon Matthews was a little girl that was abducted and there was a massive
campaign.
There was a huge reward. Campaign. Yeah, to try and find her. And, like, the parents were you know, distraught with the news items, press conferences. And then it turned out that it was actually her mother. Her mother stepfather? Was he a stepfather?
No, it was just a mother and some other relation. Like,
oh, was he?
Maybe an uncle or something like that. Yeah, I can't remember.
Because
she was in his house and they were hiding her
under the bed. Yeah.
Yeah, because they wanted to get the reward and then they were going to
But I mean, that's a bizarre case. That is a very bizarre case.
Because
she
wanted the guy, the uncle or whoever he was, to say he'd found her or something,
yeah,
didn't she?
Right.
And then
so
they were going to get the reward money. And
Just can't understand how... I mean, she's her mum. Insane. So, any other questions or anything or...
Well, I think we've just been speaking all about it.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's fine.
No, I mean, obviously I was going to ask what happened to the other girl, but as you said, you couldn't find out, so...
No, I mean, it's odd. I mean, as I say, I found out that she... I don't know if it's true, but there were a couple of places where it said she died in 89. But I can't say if that's true or not for definite, but...
So she didn't get, like, a different identity, did she?
No. No, but that's another reason why it's odd that you can't find anything out about her. The only thing I did find was that she went home after the
maybe
court
she
case.
Did. You can change your own name though, can't you? So maybe she did.
You can
that. You
maybe.
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then there would be records of that, wouldn't there?
Yeah, I'm
not. Weird.
Yeah, I've no idea what happened to Norma. Okay, so thanks everyone for listening. If you enjoy the content we create, please do give us a follow and a like and also a review if possible. You can also leave us some comments to tell us if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover. So until next week, then Super Sleuths, stay safe and we'll see you soon. Bye!
Bye!